Everybody, all to Jesus I surrender. Amen. Praise the Lord. And a little exhortation, and at that song we just sang, I Surrender All, opens the door for this exhortation this morning. It's an exhortation. And it's important we look at some of these little things. We talk of perfection. We dwell so much in the mystery of redemption until our daily walk with God, we are falling short of it because maybe we are not stressing it here. So let's come back to the rudiments of Christianity. Let's come back to the tenets of the Christian faith. What really makes you a Christian? It's not just what you know, but how or what you do with what you know. Amen and amen. And that's why we're not to be hearers only, but supposed to be doers of the word of God. There are two parts of a tree. There are the leaves and there are the fruits.
That's right.
There are the leaves and there are the fruits. And you can be deceived to think that this tree is one other tree if you look at only the leaves. But the fruit will show without controversy what tree it is. And that is religion. That is religion. The Bible you carry is the leaf. The tongue you speak is the leaf of the Christian faith. The preaching with your megaphone on the street is the leaf. When everybody sees you speaking in tongue in the public, is the leaf. The dress that you dress is the leaf. When they see you, they will say, oh, that is a Christian. But the proper confirmation of who you are is the character. It's the character. The life that you live, and that is the fruit. A tree is known by her fruit. And it's important that we note this. And I preached a message that I titled that whether is Jesus still with you? And sometimes we assume salvation instead of ensuring salvation. And sometimes you think you're on the right track, meanwhile you have gone off. It's very important, therefore, that we keep reminding ourselves how to walk with God. He said, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says,
But without faith, it is impossible to please him.
Without faith, it is impossible to please him. There's another scripture that says that whatever it is that is not of faith is sin.
Romans 14, 23.
Thank you very much.
And he that doubteth is damned if he eats.
Now listen. Go on.
Because he eateth not of faith.
Now the last statement there.
For whatsoever is not of faith is sin.
Whatever is not of faith is sin. Because if you don't do it by revelation, it will not be accepted. You will do it wrongly. Anything you do, if it is not by revelation, and revelation can only be given from God. That is why we study to show ourselves approved unto God. The bearing he gave us, our Urim and Thummim that he gave us, how will you know whether this is of God or not? He gave us the Bible. And that's why the entire message believers are having problem with me. You want to take me away from this Bible and give me another book. You want to make messages preached by another man to be the absolute. I say no. And that is the only problem with me. And it is nothing but the spirit, seducing spirit. It is a seducing spirit that will be so close, if it were possible, it will deceive the very elect. Those of you who come across my ministry, I've told ministers all over the world who want to leverage on the popularity of this ministry, because we don't believe in branches. They leverage on it, and some of you are bearing Bride Assembly Church, so that people who watch us on television will see your signboard and say you are part of us. That is very good. But remember that what brought them to you is still on. They are still watching the Bride television. So if they come to you and they see you doing magu-magu, they will still leave. And I have no apology for it. It's not easy to keep our converts. It's not easy. And that is why when some people live here and go and open their shop, and I see some people follow them, it is just evidence that they were here, but they were not of us. Amen. And some places you people, some of you go to, the question is, what did you get when you were here? And I'm not against anybody going out. If God leads you, after all, God brought you here. If he feels he has finished with you, go back. Praise the Lord. And some people are just here serving in one capacity or the other in this ministry, and it is food they're looking for to eat. And one of them left and came here recently. And I have to say it. And maybe you are listening to me now. You can't fool God. You were here. And then, in fact, not only one, two, but three of them, three different people, ordained ministers in this church. Now say God said they should leave. They go out there, and then the thing don't work again. Because you actually had nothing to offer. Listen, church, people don't know what is happening. I said this so that you take what we said or do in this church seriously. And I pray that God will open your eyes. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Listen, there was something Pastor Lumides preached last Sunday. You made a comment. And I said, now, this is the first time I'm hearing somebody at the pulpit in this church here, you know, speaking boldly the way he spoke concerning my ministry. I said, the reason is simple. All those people, since the ministry started, all these people that were here, ministers, preaching on this pulpit, they were here and they were working against the ministry. So you cannot be going to gifted brothers and telling them, what are you doing here? They are here but working against the ministry. Then you will come here again and promote the ministry. They can't. It's just like a fornicator pastor. Unless it's seriously a serpent seed. The girls you are sleeping with are sitting there in the congregation. Will that pastor speak against fornication? He can't speak against fornication because he will lose his customers. They won't agree again. Amen. Even his conscience will not let him preach because he knows he can't preach against himself. And sometimes, I don't know how they do it. The person you they sleep with, they there, they look you. Then you, they talk. Some people, very heartless people. I said this. Now you leave and then you say God, they say you should go. Then small time, you went there hungry, why are you? They did not work again because you had nothing to offer. It's only here that we try to project people. And instead of you to wait until God himself equips you and takes you for the next assignment, pride enters. And with the people that Satan sends to tell them they should leave now, and go and start your own. And meanwhile, you will go, and then they will be here. Then, and they come, and one of them, of all of them, the Lord said I should come back. I say, why are you coming to tell me to come back? He said, the Lord said I should come back. I said, go ahead now. People who come to this church, we know they sign anything before they come. It's a public place. I want you to accept me back. I said, did we do meeting before you came here? And I had to tell them. I said, but if you are hoping that you are coming to continue from where you stopped, when you left, another person took your position. But if you are coming here to worship, Gafili Gaduki, come and worship. But if you are thinking that you are not coming, I said, and to occupy the position and the glory, and I say, no vacancy. But there's vacancy to come and worship. But vacancy to come and pray. You had your own opportunity. Now I'm bringing up others. The same person that said God, he said he should come back here. After he worshiped here 2 times, I don't see him again. So you just wonder, who are these people? May God help us. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hallelujah. Now listen, we are going to look at a topic that are titled Vengeance Belong to God. And have this at the back of your mind while we take this exhortation. That in Isaiah 55 verse 8 and verse 9, the Lord had this to say.
For my thoughts are not your thoughts.
Again.
For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
Just know it. That the way God does his things is different from the way human beings do their things. That is why we sang that song, I Surrender. And you know at the end of the exhortation why you must surrender. Now, so let's look at what the Bible says. From where I pick this exhortation topic. Romans chapter 12, 1 verse 14. Romans chapter 12, and we have some reading to do.
Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not.
Again.
Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not.
We are doing Bible study. Listen very well. You have finished with Olumide. You were listening very well. Listen to me too. Me too, I'm a teacher. It's not only Olumide. Read it again.
Bless them which persecute you.
Somebody is persecuting you and the God is saying bless him.
Bless and curse not.
He said don't curse him. Bless. Somebody is persecuting you. My ways are not your ways. He says, verse 17.
Recompense to no man evil for evil.
Don't repay anybody evil. Who does evil to you? Don't use evil. It's not tit for tat. Go on. Read up to verse 21.
Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as light in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves.
What did he say again?
Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves.
Don't revenge. But
rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Vengeance is mine, I will repay.
I will repay,
saith the Lord.
Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Verse 20 and 21.
Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him.
Can you see?
If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head.
Verse 21.
Be not overcome of evil,
but
overcome evil
with good. Who is talking here? It's Apostle Paul. And he was actually repeating what the Lord Jesus Christ spoke in Matthew chapter 5. From verse 38. Let's read it through up to verse 48.
Ye have heard that it had been said.
In the law, that is in the law, in the Old Testament law.
An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.
If you come out my eye, your eye too, they will come out. If you come out my tooth, I come out your tooth. You do me, I do you, God no vex.
But I say unto you,
yes,
that ye resist not evil.
He said, don't resist evil.
But whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also.
I read it again.
But I say unto you that ye resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also.
You know, if you read what the Lord is saying here, it just makes us look as if Christians are dummies. Christians are dummies. If you don't understand what he's saying here, how can they slap you one cheek? Then you turn another one again. And amen. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. The way I fight my battle is not the way you fight your battle. If they slap you one cheek, turn the other one. I had a story of one man at Imo State, at Ihube. Ihube is the name of a village. He said he was always preaching and disturbing the village every time. Then one of these funny people came. He said, this Bible way they preach, do you really believe all that's written there? He said, I believe, that's why I'm preaching. He said, if they slap you one cheek, you should turn the other. Do you believe it? He said, sure. Then he slapped him towers. Then he was going to, he turned again, he slapped him. Then he went to slap, he hold his hand. He said, the Bible says, only once here. If you slap me again. Amen. Praise the Lord. But what did Jesus Christ say when Peter asked him, how many times should a man offend me before I forgive him? Seven times?
70 times.
How many times?
70 times seven.
70 times seven times. So, you will have stood there, he will slap you 70 times. You just die for nothing. He is not saying it literally like that. We will get to understand it later. Go on.
Verse 40. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go
go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that will borrow of thee, turn not thou away.
See?
Ye have heard that it have been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you,
in the law, love your neighbor, but hate your enemy. That is the law, but not the law of Christ. That's the law of Moses. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by the Lord Jesus Christ. We are under the law of Christ, and this is how God operates under the law of Christ.
But go I on. Say unto you, love your enemies,
so,
bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despisefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven.
This is the reason. If you do that, it will be the evidence that you are the children of your Father which is in heaven. Does he do? What is identification?
For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good.
Okay.
And sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust.
Okay.
For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect.
Now, listen. Why does God say you should not fight back? Well, that's the summary of it all. On the contrary, bless them who curse you. Those who persecute you, even bless them. If they slap you here, turn the other one. When they slap again, don't slap back. If they collect your cloth and they go, and they are coming again for another one, he said, don't even withhold it. Give him. Don't pursue him. Hallelujah. He said, when you do that, you are heaping coals of judgment upon the person. Now, I have 5 reasons why God says, don't fight back. Why he says, vengeance belongs to him. Hallelujah. Number one is that our God, one of his attributes is that he is the mighty one in battle. And God has created us to express his attributes. He created us for his pleasure. In Psalm 24, verse 7 and verse 8, Psalm 24, verse 7 and verse 8,
lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty
in battle. How can you say he is mighty in battle when he has no battle to fight? And God does not go to look for anybody's trouble. God does not go to just say, let me show these people that I can fight. I'm going to start fighting everybody. Every attribute of God is provoked. Even his love is provoked. His mercies provoked. Everything that he is provoked. You have to bring it out. And so, when he tells you that don't fight, that the battle belongs to him, he's the mighty one in battle. He's a God that fights war. He's just telling you, leave it and let me display this attribute that I am a warrior. Oh, praise God. Number two. It's because God wants us to depend on him for all aspects of our lives. Because without God, we can do nothing. Without God, no Christian can fight any successful war. No battle, you can never win in any battle without God. For the weapons of our warfare, they are mighty. Through who? Through who? Through God, the Bible says so. If it is through him, it is because he alone can do it. And so, he wants us to depend on him. He says, just put everything to him. Leave it there, leave it there. Take your bodies to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Now, number three, fighting back disturbs God's battle plans.
Hey, I hear that one.
If you fight, amen, apart from hindering him, you also disturb his battle plans. Always note that concerning you, God wants to take all the glory for every aspect of your life. He does not want you to depend on your strength or your ability. He wants you to bring us to a stage where we depend on him totally, totally. And so when you try to fight yourself, he has the best way to deal with every situation. He has his best weapon to fight any of our enemies. And he doesn't have the same battle plan for everyone. You want the person to die so that you can have your peace. God will say, He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. There are some he will kill. But there are some he will only paralyze, but allow them to see that what they say you will not achieve, you will achieve it. It disturbs God. It hinders God. It disturbs his battle plan. And so in Isaiah 59, you can pick that from verse 1 and verse 2. What did he say?
Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot
you
save.
You see?
Neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear.
So you have been praying. You know, you've been doing things on your own. You are doing things on your own. You because there are some of us that claim we are praying. We expect God to answer our prayer and fight. But instead of you to just leave it with him, after that, after your prayer, your midnight prayer, you will still wake up and go to that your enemy and phone and begin to abuse him and abuse her. I will deal with you. You will not. Don't talk to me. The verse 2 is the reason why that prayer was not answered. What did he say in verse 2?
But your iniquities have separated between you and your God.
Uh-huh.
And your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear.
That is the sin. What is the sin here? Is this that you are standing in his way of dealing with your enemies by the way you are reacting to those who offend you. It's iniquity. No matter how you pray, with that attitude, then you wake up and you give it back. I will give it back. I will give it back to you. After you have given back to the person, then you know that the person may enter his shrine. Then you go back in the night. Father, you are already doing it now. What do you want Father to do again? So he will leave you to fight. That is why Mark chapter 11, verse 25 and verse 26, he said, when you stand praying, what should you do? When you stand praying,
forgive.
What did he say?
Forgive.
When you stand praying,
forgive.
That is what I'm explaining. If you have aught against any,
that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses.
Uh-huh.
But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses.
The forgiveness there, the trespass that you are trespassing. Listen, in the context of what I'm sharing with you now, the trespass there is not the fornication, adultery, lying, and all this one. Forgive. Okay. The sin that he will not forgive you to is that you are standing on his way. It is sin. So, don't hinder God. Do your own. And let God do his own. He wants to do his own. You are disturbing him with your carnality. And the thing is paining him. Because somebody is dealing with his child. And he wants to revenge. But he has a law. Give me chance. You are blocking him. Because at the end of the battle, if anything, you won't even succeed. You have not seen. You hear a Christian that a neighbor took his name to a shrine and attacked him. A Christian. Christian. Why? You are fighting him now. So God step aside. Oh yeah, continue the fight now. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Number four. Amen. I said it earlier, but that is the fourth point, that he acts better when he is properly provoked. So sometimes it looks as if the enemy is not leaving you alone. He will not let you rest. And you have been praying, and you've done all that you're supposed to do. And it looks as if God is not ready to do anything. No. God wants what he's doing to you, and you yourself, you are blessing that person. You are pumping God's anger ready at the appropriate time. When the balloon is full, it will explode. One time he said the cup of the Amorites, of the iniquity of the Amorites, is not yet full. When it is full, then you will know that I am the mighty one in battle. Praise the Lord. Because God will be looking at the person. When you are hungry, my son will give you food to eat. When you have problem, he will give you. He will do everything to help you. He buys something gift for you, he will collect it. And yet, you are setting trap to finish him. And yet, you are dealing with him, making him or her cry every day. He will be looking at you. If he continue. When my anger will descend upon you, you will know that there is a God in Israel. And so, delay is not denial. Amen. When it comes to battle, it's another way. Hallelujah. When you see the delay, that is why God is delaying. Oh, the past 2,000 years, he's soon coming. Don't worry. The cup of the iniquity of the inhabitants of this earth is waiting for it to be full. And it is already getting filled up. Sodom and Gomorrah, their own was filled up. And he had to send two angels to go and confirm whether it is true. And they saw, by the time that Sodom and Gomorrah, their iniquity had reached the stage of LGBT. Confirmed, sustained by legislation. Until they have more right than normal people. God say it don't do. The rapture of Lot took place. I hear you, sir. And the Bible says, as it was in the days of Lot. Are we not in the same time now? No. If you don't have any other sign, this is enough sign for you to know that it is home going time. The rapture is nearer than we know. Our redemption is nearer. You can see the world is falling apart. You can see no peace anywhere. Look at the more one, they say they are sophisticated in their law and everything. Look at what is happening in America. Every day you wake up, somebody is carrying gun and just shooting innocent people.
That's right.
We see it every day in their news. You know the difference between these advanced countries and our Nigerian journalists is that They are more patriotic than Nigerians. It's Nigerians that are finishing Nigerians. So the thing that we are supposed to keep at home within us, they will blow it out to the whole world. Plus the false one and everything. The people abroad there, they are so scared, Nigerians that are outside there, they are afraid to come home because of what they are seeing in social media. Most of it in Alayo, it's of exaggeration. Are we not in Nigeria here? Okay. So what is happening there, they cover it up. CNN will cover it up. BBC will cover their own up. They will just report that there was some shooting. So we are shooting. There was some, they will make it look as if they are better than the shoot. There was some shooting and shooting. And then the next thing, they will try to rub it up. He had a psychiatric case. That is, he ran mad. That is why. Now lie. The world is falling apart. No secure place anywhere anymore. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So God himself is reaching a point, and I am telling you, if you see what these serpent seeds will do, heartless beasts, cut off the head of a human being and show it on the social media, how they are cutting and then posting it. And then other Nigerians will be sharing it. And then everybody is seeing it and create more fear everywhere. And then you see what is happening. See what the politicians are doing. I saw one of the political leaders, a clip that was sent, I saw it. And he was addressing thugs and saying, intimidate them, harass them. Harass them. This is not their hometown, this is our own. In their place, they can support their candidate, but when you come here, this is our own. Don't let intimidate them, intimidate them. And these are the people we are looking up to as our political leaders. We have thugs. Thugs are ruling us in this country. Thugs. Hallelujah. May God will answer our prayers. The iniquity of the whole people in the world, their iniquity, the cup of their iniquity will soon be full. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So continue to do good to them that hate you. You are, no matter how long it takes, one day God will come down and say, "He don't do." Praise the Lord. And finally, number five, why he says vengeance belongs to him, living to fight the battle. It is because you are suffering for his name's sake. Since he is the reason why people hate you, leave him to fight the battle for you. In Matthew 24, verse 9, what did he say? Jesus Christ himself in his own words, in Matthew 24, verse 9,
then shall they deliver you then, up to be afflicted.
Future. Then shall they, the enemy, deliver you up to be what?
Afflicted. And shall kill you. And you shall be hated of all nations.
For which reason?
For my name's sake.
For my name's sake, they will kill you. For my name's sake, they will hate you. In Romans 8:35 and verse 36.
As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day
it
long.
It is for whose sake?
For Christ's sake.
It is for Christ's sake that we are
killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us.
Just know that whatever anybody hates you, he hates you because of your faith. He hates you because you are a Christian. Amen. And he says, we see Israel, for instance. Hallelujah. Why did Hitler and the rest hate Israel? It's just because they were Jews. No other reason. Because they are God's special people. Everybody knows they are God's special people. Why were they tormenting them in Israel? Because they were Jews. I mean, in Egypt. It's because they were Jews. Jews. Hallelujah. That is why, since it is because of me, you are making this man, this woman, to suffer, I will fight for him. I will fight for her.
Hallelujah.
That is the reason. Amen. Praise the Lord. And there's one interesting thing about God that I found out. Listen, church. Nobody deals with a true child of God and goes free. Nobody deals with a true child of God and goes free. Nobody. Even the armies of Joel. In Joel chapter 2 and verse 25. Joel chapter 2.
And I will restore to you the years that the locust had eaten and the cankerworm.
This locust and the cankerworm.
And the caterpillar.
Caterpillar.
And the palmer worm.
The palmer worm. What did he call them?
My great army which I sent upon
you. He is the one that sent the locust. He is the one that sent the cankerworm. He is the one that sent the caterpillar and the palmer worm. Who are this his great army? It is the Babylonian Empire, the Grecian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, and the Roman Empire. Nebuchadnezzar and and all these heads of these nations, that any time the Jews misbehave, God's covenant people, you will release them to come and deal with them. When they cry, they don't suffer, finish. That's the reason why, when they disobeyed God, they offended God, how many times? 70 Sabbaths. That's why he say, how many times will a man offend you before you forgive? Eh? The first one, he was looking at them. The first, second one, he was forgiving them. The third one, he was forgiving until they reached 70 times. They refused to keep the law of the Sabbath of the land. And Sabbath, 1 week makes one Sabbath. So he said, therefore, because of it, he allowed Nebuchadnezzar to come and deal with them and took them into slavery for how many years? 70 years. Jeremiah gave that prophecy. So Jesus was trying to let you know that is why God waited until it was 70. After 70 times 7, he said, each year you will be in captivity. Will be each year will be for each of the Sabbath. You pay for each one you did not keep. But we here, nobody will offend you reach 70 times. You wouldn't even allow it reach 10 times before you will come and take vengeance. Praise the Lord. And then watch it. After he used Nebuchadnezzar and dealt with them, then he came. And after releasing them from that captivity, he turned again and destroyed them. After using anybody to deal with you, after that, God will turn again. Oh, I don't think because I use you to deal with this person, that means, let me show you that it's because you already offended me before. My judgment was waiting for you before. So you are already a child of my judgment. You were already before the judgment seat. So let me add the punishment, everything together. Do this work for me. After all, you are wicked. That is your ministry. And it shall not be well with the wicked. So when you finish, then you will deal with you. You are not, he's not dealing with you because you dealt with his child. No. It is because you are already originally wicked. Anyone that he uses to deal with you, later on, he will come again and deal with that person. So nobody escapes. Nobody will escape. Blessed be the name of the Lord.